Welcome to the Sport Passion Podcast. And here is your host, Lars Marendorf.
Hello and welcome to the Sport Passion Podcast, a special episode from Vegas as I was at the Golden Knights game against the Anaheim Ducks, and I talked to Chris Chapman, who you guys know from the podcast as the guy who does the introduction there, and he's the producer of the Vegas Golden Knights show on Fox Sports Las Vegas on the radio, so you guys can also listen to him on the radio. I talked to him about the Golden Knights, expectations, the offseason, and much more there. And in the end, you get a quote from Bruce Cassidy. I was also obviously at the press conference, and he was just amazing. He was giving so thoughtful answers. I had a question for him. You guys gonna hear it later on, and he could have just shut me down. It was late in the conference, in the news conference, so he already spent a couple of minutes explaining some stuff, and he went deep, and he didn't give the answer I was expecting, because I was expecting a different reason for what I asked him, for the problem about I asked him. But he was giving a kind answer, and he was giving a real explanation, which was very useful and could be very useful for me for future coverage. So just an amazing coach there, a lot of insights from him. And so I really enjoyed the game. I really enjoyed the time there in Vegas, and it was fun to be back in an NHL arena finally and to see the Golden Knights play the Ducks there. Side note, I like the Ducks jerseys. They have much more live in person than I thought I would. So maybe if you want to grab a jersey, the Ducks jersey looks pretty good. Okay, so enjoy Chris, enjoy Bruce Cassidy, and welcome to Vegas. Okay, so I'm sitting in the T-Mobile Arena in Vegas, and I'm sitting next to Chris Chapman. So Chris, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking a couple of minutes in the second intermission. It's the Ducks against the Vegas Golden Knights. We're going to talk about that soon. But first of all, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, no problem. Lars, always great to join you. I think this is maybe my third or fourth time jumping on with you. So it's always a good time.
Yeah, and if anyone remembers or recognizes the voice, it's the introduction voice to the podcast. So Chris was kind enough to record something there. Chris, before we talk about the Golden Knights, talk about your coverage of the Golden Knights. So where can people hear you? What are you guys doing covering the Golden Knights?
Well, you could catch me on Fox Sports Las Vegas. It's 98.9 FM, 1340 AM here in Las Vegas. It's on also the VGK Insider Show is on Spotify. I also do a podcast called Hockey Nights in Vegas. That's on Spotify, YouTube. So check that out. I do it with my friend Eddie Rifkin, and so I'm all over this team. You know, my eighth season covering the Golden Knights, and I've been blessed because every year this team is really competitive. And you know, there's guys around the league who haven't covered a playoff team in 8 years, and here I am covering a team that seems to make a run in the playoffs every season. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I'm sure I always listen to TuneIn, so you can get all the radio stations there in Germany as well. So anyone who wants to listen to Chris can do that. Chris, let's talk about last season. The Golden Knights had a great start. They've already won this year two games as well. What went wrong after that? I mean, they had a lot of injuries, but it was also, I felt like they hit a point where maybe they were fatigued or whatever they had. What was the reason in your mind that they were not able to continue on their run and at least have, I don't know, home ice advantage or whatever in the playoffs?
Well, yeah, I think injuries were part of it. You know, that's not an excuse. It's a reason. It caught up to them. They battled injuries all season, and I think once they lost Mark Stone, it enabled them to make some moves at the trade deadline to get Tomas Hertl and Noah Hanifin. But I think maybe there were some chemistry issues in that series with Dallas. The big thing to me was consistency. They had a very difficult time finding consistency night in, night out, and it just seemed like at times they were lacking urgency. There were some games against bad teams where end of the season they were almost out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
They were you know, and it came down to the final few games of the season. The one game that specifically sticks out is they played Chicago here and they lost that game. And then they close up the season against these Anaheim Ducks, and they lost that one. I was actually in Anaheim a couple days after Christmas, and they came out and they got their doors blown off by the Ducks. And it was the first game back after the holiday, and they had played pretty poorly going into it. And they had a couple days off, came out. You figure they're playing a bad team, and they really weren't really into that game. And they had some issues with consistency, and I think that's a huge issue in the NHL. If you can't find your game night in, night out, you're going to have a very difficult time winning games.
And then they made a lot of changes in the summer. A lot of the old guys are gone now, the misfits like Marchessault, Stevenson. A guy like Martinez is gone. Logan Thompson is gone. Why did they make so many changes when they were at least competitive in the Dallas series? So, I mean, you could argue, like you said, they had injuries, but they brought Dallas to Game 7. They had a 2-0 lead in the series, so it was not that like they were pretty much a bad team. Why do you think they made so many changes?
Well, I think with the salary cap in the NHL, I think there were some salary implications. Certainly, you look at the contracts that both Jonathan Marchessault and Chandler Stephenson signed with Nashville and Seattle, respectively. Vegas just wasn't in a position to match those, and I think they made the business decision to allow Jonathan Marchessault to walk. I think at the end of the day, it was the right decision, and I think it was the right decision for Marchessault to take the money in Nashville. Same with Chandler Stephenson. I think at the end of the day, those guys both made business decisions, and the team made business decisions. I think in the case of guys like Michael Amadio and William Carrier, they felt like maybe they could upgrade in those areas. And certainly you look at the additions of Victor Olofsson, and you now have a full season of Tomas Hertl and Noah Hanifin and Holtz coming in. Yeah. You hope that you're going to be able to find a little bit more depth scoring, and I think we haven't seen it yet outside of Olofsson. He had the two goals in the first game, and Holtz yet to really make an impact. But I think as the season progresses, those guys will start to make an impact on the ice.
Just regarding the guys that went out, there were some, let's say, arguments in public between Marchessault and the Golden Knights. Then you had the situation with Robin Lehner. You had Logan Thompson, I don't know, calling the team out or at least talking about the goalie situation. Why was there so much noise around some of the guys leaving the Golden Knights where they could have just taken the high road and say, okay, thanks for your service, good luck wherever you play, and that's it? Why do you think there was some buzz around those players?
Well, I think it's emotions. I think in the case of Marchessault, this has been his home for 7 years, and I think maybe he felt a little hurt.
I can understand the player, but why do you react as a team against it? Why don't you say, okay, he signed there, good luck there, and that's it, and just come out and say, well, we made him that offer, and he could have accepted that offer? Felt a little strange to me.
Yeah, I guess you have to kind of save face with the fans a little bit.
Okay.
You know, you have to at least let the fans know you made an effort. I think that's it. Logan Thompson's situation was a little bit different. I think Logan feels he's a number one goalie.
Yeah.
I think he believes that he's a number one goalie. I don't know if he is or he isn't. He certainly will have the opportunity to maybe prove that in Washington, but I don't think he's going to be the number one there either.
Yeah.
So I think he's an emotional guy. I think he has a really difficult time sometimes keeping them in check, and he wanted the opportunity to be a number one goalie. He was in development camp with the Capitals, so it's an organization that he's familiar with. I think the Golden Knights probably did him a favor by trading him. I don't think he was better than Aiden Hill. So I think that's a situation where maybe he thought he was better than Aiden Hill. I don't think the organization felt that way, and I don't think a lot of people who cover this team feel that way. But I wish him well, and I hope he does become the number one guy in Washington, because I like watching him play.
You talked about Olofsson already. You talked about Alexander Holtz. Those are two guys who come from teams where there were a lot of young players, a lot of maybe higher-rated players than those two. Do you think that the Golden Knights saw an opportunity to grab some guys who were... I mean, they had some misfits to begin the franchise with. Now they bring in those guys who were kind of like second row guys in their respective teams where they came from, but now maybe they get some more ice time. Maybe they come into a winning culture, especially for a guy coming in from Buffalo. Do you think that was also one of the reasons bringing them in?
Well, I think in the case of Holtz, he was one of those young guys. Yeah. And
But I mean, the guys that were ahead of him, they're higher rated.
A lot better, yeah.
The Hughes brothers there, so...
Yeah, I think for Holtz, he's going to have the opportunity. He's young. I think he's only 22 or 23. So it's a fresh beginning for him, and he's playing for an organization. And the funny thing is, I actually grew up a Devils fan, so I watched them quite a bit. And he was buried, and a lot of it was because I think he had a very difficult time being consistent night in, night out. In limited time, he was able to put a lot of pucks in the net, but defensively his game had lapses, and that just wasn't going to fly with Lindy Ruff, and it's not going to fly here. So he's going to have to commit defensively to being a better player. But if he does, I think the upside offensively is really, really good. With Olofsson, this was an organization that has been trying to find that consistent goal scorer on the power play. And he's got the history. He's got a shot. He's got the history with Jack in Buffalo. And I think coming in here, he's really meshed really well with the team. I think he fits. And I think he's the guy who's going to score a lot of goals for this team. I don't think he's going to score 42 like Marchessault did, but I could see him with 25 goals. It wouldn't be the least bit surprising.
If he gets 25, if Holtz gets a couple one, you can spread that.
Yeah.
You got Hurdle coming in, so
you make up for it with those guys. Yep.
You mentioned Jack Eichel coming in during the flight. I watched a couple of the episodes of the Amazon doku. So, what did you see there? Or maybe, as someone who's covered the team for 8 years, maybe you knew that already, but were there parts of the series and parts of the personality of Jack Eichel that surprised? Have you seen it, is the question. Have you already seen it? Have you seen something that surprised you regarding Jack Eichel?
Well, funny thing is, my voice was actually in the documentary.
Oh, okay.
I made a comment about him needing to score in the open net, but I thought it was good. I like the Forsberg stuff. Yeah. I didn't know his wife was pregnant. I thought that was really cool and what he was going through. But for Jack is a guy who came here and he was allowed to really just be himself. There wasn't the pressure on him like there was in Buffalo. He's a tremendous talent. Like, we're so lucky getting to watch a guy like him play every night. Personality-wise, I think he really seems to fit with the city. He's a real, I think, dynamic guy off the ice. He's very mellow off the ice, which is kind of funny, but on the ice, he's dynamic. I like the idea that, you know, seeing his beach house and him swimming in the ocean after, you know, just kind of, all right, you know what? We're done with the past. It's now into the future. And I think Jack is a guy who's done a great job with that. You know, he was able to put the past in Buffalo behind him when he came here, just play hockey. I think so far early on this season, you look at what he's done. Last season's behind him, and he's moving forward.
As there's an intermission show about to start here, the noise has gone up. Just a couple of outlooks. What do you expect from the Golden Knights during the season? I mean, they are 2-0. The Oilers lost just their third game in a row again to start the season. I had them ranked first, and I thought the Oilers would run away with the division. And then maybe Vegas comes in, because if you look at Vancouver with their goalie situation there, that's not ideal, and everyone else after that is not as good as those teams. What do you expect from them now? Do you think they've learned a lesson regarding the regular season to maybe try to get home ice there, try to get a better seat?
I do. I think Edmonton will win the division. But for Vegas, I think finishing second is important. Getting that home ice with, whether it's Los Angeles or Vancouver, you know, being in that wild card was really, really difficult, because the Stars, they've got a great team. I think Pete DeBoer is a really good coach. So it was always going to be really, really difficult. But you go up 2-0 on them, you should win that series. I think for Vegas, the regular season, they're going to place a little more emphasis on it. I think they're going to win a few more games to be in a position where they don't have to be the wild card. You know, L.A., Vancouver, Calgary, Seattle, they're all going to be chasing. And I think Vegas and Edmonton, I think they're a step above the other three teams, other four teams that are going to be chasing.
Chris, thanks a lot for a couple of insights. on the Golden Knights. You mentioned where the guys can listen to you, so thanks again for coming on the show. Thanks again for everything you've done so far for me. So always a pleasure to have you on.
Yeah, not a problem, man. I enjoy talking to you. You know, I'm a big soccer guy, so I watch a lot of Bundesliga. We can watch it here in the U.S. So I like Mainz, who are off to a good start. They've got the leading goal scorer right now, so I'm excited about that. But yeah, it's always good jumping on with you, man. I enjoy it.
Last two Lars today.
Lars Marin of MySport Switzerland. The goal today and one of the goals against St. Louis, there were kind of like a miscommunication or a breakdown from the defensive side. Do you think that's due to it being early in the season and having not the rhythm you would like to have or you would have going deep into the season?
I think the goal tonight, we talk about entering zones, where to turn up with the puck. And if you look at our first goal, Nick Waugh drives it all the way down to the hash mark. So everyone can read off easier the D if they're joining, right? So, and now you got more options. You can funnel it low. Or Barbie turned up a little bit high, so now our D's up with the rush, and he should be. Petro, he's joining. Wait and see what happens. Now he gets wide. Theo jumps through. So I don't know if it's so much miscommunication, but that's a bad area to be turning up today's game. The way people reload, you got to be 100% sure that puck will make a strong play, because you got a lot of guys going to the net, and if the puck doesn't get there, then they're coming the other way. So is it miscommunication between Theo and Petro? Maybe. Who should be up, who not? Maybe. The other night, I think we're in between the line change. Same sort of thing happened. That's going to happen over the course of the season, where guys just get caught the puck. I think Nick Waugh went to get the puck deep and didn't get deep. He tried. He made the right play, just didn't execute it as well. And we thought it was getting deep, so those happened. But we got to manage the puck a little better at the blue lines. There's another one. You know, where D at the blue line, you know, tried to make a play that wasn't there. That gets dangerous areas. And that's just a little bit of, to me, not being in the thick of it for a while. When you play and get ready for a season and preseason, and when you're skating in August, you're always making plays. No one's practicing their forecheck or dumping a puck in. That's just the reality. So you got to get out of that bit mindset. When's risk reward, we'll call it. So we've had a few. Hopefully each game there's one less and get to the point where you're managing pretty well.
Sportliche Grüße. Das war's, euer Lars.